Yeah, thank you very much. What a privilege it is. If I do sound a little stuffy, I'm sorry. There was a little bug that did its rounds, but I'm sure we'll be fine. And hopefully the wind will also work with us. As Neil mentioned, my name is Henku. I am very Afrikaans. I grew up in Pretoria. I studied in Bloemfontein, where I met my gorgeous wife. I think she wanted me to add sexy to that, but for time's sake, we go for gorgeous. She's an amazing woman, and I'm very privileged that I got to meet her. And then the Lord took me into the nations, and I actually had the privilege to go to this place that Neil was speaking about earlier in Sao Paulo as well, Essatio 337, who's part of the 412 congregations, and I got to spend some time with them over there. But God took me on this journey, and He partnered me with an organization that I'm currently working with, who has landed me here in Cape Town. And so we joined, back then it was the Greenpoint congregation over there at the Hellenic Center. That was in 2020 when we really found family in this family. And so, yeah, 2022, the two of us got married. I don't know if you can remember Ross Gillespie. He took care of our service up in Pretoria with family, and then Neil also did it down here in Cape Town when we had our celebration with you as a family. And then our little boy was born, and so little Ezra, our Grace Tornado, is just over 1 year old now, yeah, and growing happily, and as you can see, he is, yeah, for those who have seen him around, he's a lot of fun. But before I get going, even now in the session of worship, just spending some time before Him, I do want to pause again for a moment and say, is there anything else so remarkable than to have a moment with the Lord? Like I felt those words just go deeply into me again. Like, am I really honest with myself to say that all the days of my life, I'll trade for that one moment if I can just meet with Him face to face? There is nothing as profound and beautiful. And hopefully, as we dig into this message this morning, there's something of that that's going to come through us again, that we really believe it, that we desire to encounter our Lord. And in many ways, we get to do that. And so Mark, for those of you who haven't been here for the last 2 weeks, he's taken us on a bit of a journey of this idea around God's purpose for us to bear fruit and to bear it abundantly, not just a little. It's actually a desire of Him to have abundant fruit out of us. And yet, He gave us the warning that the enemy comes with all his schemes and his ways, and he's trying to minimize our fruit bearing. And so this analogy or this parable of seed being sown into soil that then dies in order for it to grow. And even this morning with all the messages that came through, there's something so profound about this idea that the soil that we're planted in, that Audrey also shared, there's something significant about that being healthy. For the roots to go deep, because the winds will come. We know this. The winds of the world will come, and some people actually get blown back and forth all the time. But what is it? What can we do? What can be helpful to us for roots to go deep, that we are actually able to remain standing and stable when the winds of the world come, when the enemy's schemes come along? Can we look to the Word this morning and see how we can grow deep? And I do want to just pop up, if you can help me, that first scripture, because this is part of the warning, and I love what the Holy Spirit was taking Neil into here. This is right at the end of the second letter that Peter is writing, and it's actually under the title in many of our Bibles called The Day of the Lord. It's speaking about the end, and he's warning us and saying, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Right at the end, he's speaking to the church and he's saying, right, his last words, be on your guard. Let us not be familiar. Let us not be familiar with our Lord. Let us not forget that right, even though we know him, we are to grow in him and our understanding of him. And so, let's get into it. I'm going to continue on this too much. The next image is something that I believe is a beautiful depiction of what it is that we can help answer this question. How do we remain standing? How do we remain stable? How do we get those roots to keep us upright? Because this is an image, three-legged stool. Now, if you look at that, a one-legged stool won't stand on its own. It'll just fall over. I'm sure you can all imagine that. If you take out two, it'll fall. Even a two-legged stool will still fall very easily in two directions. But a three-legged stool can stand on its own. It's stable. Something can be put on this and it will remain standing. This is a depiction of what God has gifted to us. And that's what I want to share as well this morning in saying we've been given gifts of the Word of God. He's given us this beautiful thing where we get guidance from. The Word of God is one of it. The other one, the second leg, is the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit poured out as a companion walking with us through life. And the third one is the community of God. The people around us supporting us, coming alongside, keeping us accountable, and saying, hey, let's stay on track there. I see you falling. Let me give you a hand. And this morning, I want to be looking, and I feel like God wants to breathe new life into one of those areas, which is going to be the Word of God. Because in the next slide, you'll see very quickly if one of those legs do break, it'll topple over again. So we do need to do health checks on all three. Like, are we actually healthy in those regards? Are we looking after it well in our lives? So, as you just heard, this is something new to me, but I have the privilege to, I've shared the word before, but in preaching courses, they tell you it's a good idea to have a nice title, something that people will remember, hopefully. And I thought, well, whilst they're brave enough to give me the mic, I'm going to try something else, and I'm going to call it an evolving title. All right. And so you're going to have to pay attention, because there's going to be a title, and it's going to keep changing as we go along, and then at the end we'll see who can remember what's happening. All right, so the first title for today is, Are You Hungry? And I love this whole session that we just had was exactly that. It was a cry out to us to go, are you hungry for more? Do you desire something more? So are you hungry? And you can go to the next slide, Joe. And beautiful, isn't it? A juicy, warm, delicious burger. And if you weren't hungry, I'm sure you will be in a couple of moments. And McDonald's might be paying me commission for this, but if we look at that, it entices something in us. It's something in it, like marketing actually shows us that the longer I leave that up there, the more likely it is that you go and buy it afterwards. Actually, it's up to 50% more likely that you'll go and get this later today, just by looking at it. And I can tell you about it as well. And I think in this question of are you hungry, there's something actually for us as a community that we have an ability, but also, I would argue, a responsibility to entice one another's appetite. Appetite for His Word. And it doesn't need to be all that complex. It's a simple question. Hey, what have you read today? What is it that you're discovering in the Lord this week? How is that aligning with what the elders are taking us in? How is it aligning with the leading? Because if I am able to entice you like marketing does pretty well with something like this, can we not do that with one another? And I would say, yes, we should. Are we enticing each other's appetite for Scripture, for the Word of God? And the second thing about this image is, I can tell you what it tastes like. I can tell you what it smells like. I can tell you everything about it. But until you don't get it, and you don't take a bite out of that thing, you'll not be satisfied and you'll not know what it tastes like. And the Word of God is similar. If somebody's standing up here teaching and preaching all day long, it will not satisfy until you go and discover for yourself. We've got to get into the Word and discover our Lord in there. Especially, I would say, when somebody like me teaches. Gotta go. We gotta go and discover for ourselves. I want to use an example out of Scripture where this is so beautifully depicted in Acts 17:11, speaking about the Bereans, and it says this. Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Examine the Scriptures every day. Is it really my story? You and I, are we honestly doing this? Am I receiving something in the world and going, every day I want to dig it, I want to go and examine if what this is actually true? And I want to say the Bible encourages us to do that. It's not me saying that. We should do it. Whatever, whoever the elder is, whatever the apostle is that's teaching, again, like I said, especially with somebody like me, go and examine whatever is being said here afterwards. Go and test it against God's word. Because the Bible has many mysteries in it. And if you've been in church circles or you've read the Bible a little bit, you know that there's a lot of mysteries in there. But I love what Proverbs 25:2 says. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search out a matter is the glory of kings. What a privilege. We get to dig into things. We get to unveil, get the Lord to unveil things for us. But the matter of kings, or the glory of kings, actually, sorry, to search out a matter is the glory of kings. We have an opportunity to do that. Now, you might sit here this morning and say, well, I actually do struggle to go to the Bible. When I read, it feels contradicting at times. I just don't know where this fits into that. I read a portion and it doesn't make a lot of sense. And I want to encourage you to keep in mind that the Bible is a whole book. This thing is and should be taken in its entirety. It's a full series. And the more we read Scripture, the more we get our questions answered. Because Scripture actually answers itself. The more we spend time in there, the more those questions will be answered. It's like when you're watching a movie. I don't know if you guys enjoy movies. I personally get really into a movie. You're watching this movie, and it's an intense movie, and you're right in that intense scene, and it's getting to the climax, and in walks your husband, your wife, or your housemate, and starts asking, what is she doing? Why is he doing that? Why? It doesn't help, because you have got no background to the story. You've not followed the character development. It is not helpful, and actually frustrating. sorry. I heard some proof in the pudding here. It's the same with the Bible. Read it for entirety. Read the whole thing. I don't know who of you still has a nice old hard copy. I love this thing. It's like I get to walk through the pages, work through it together. I know a lot of us do it on our phones these days. But we say to one another that we want to look more like Jesus. And most of us here, I think, would say that we want to look more like Jesus. But I want you to quickly consider this with me. They recently did this study, a tech study done on the average screen time that people spend in countries worldwide. And if you go to the next slide, you'll see that South Africa actually has the highest amount of screen time per day in the entire world. Can you believe it? 56.8%. That amounts to, the next slide will show you, 9 hours and 24 minutes of our awake time, we are, as South Africans, looking at screens. 5 hours and 15 minutes is on our phones. And then you say, like, okay, well, maybe you're doing good things. No, no. The next slide shows you that 3.5 hours is social media per day, on average, South Africa. The highest in the world. Funnily enough, Japan is the lowest. Who would have thought? If you consider all of that time and you add to it billboards, advertisements, movies, conversations at the gym or at work, how much the world is teaching at you, and then you compare that to 30 minutes on a Sunday or 45 minutes of a Bible study on a Wednesday, the scales are nowhere near balanced. Like, that is such a lot of time that we're spending being fed information and probably not all that much from the Lord. There's a lot of the world being taught at us. So weigh that up against each other, and quickly we got to understand, if we are not spending time discovering His truth for ourselves, we won't look like Him very, very quickly. We won't becoming more like Jesus if we're being fed the world and we're not actually discovering for ourselves in this beautiful book who He's all about. And what better way to look more like Jesus than to actually discover Him in these pages? So I want to go to our second question, the second title. Are you discovering? Are you spending time discovering? couple of weeks ago in worship, I was standing in the back there with little Ezra in my arms, and he was sleeping peacefully for once. What a privilege. And as I was looking down at him, I was just overcome with love for him. But the Holy Spirit did something special in that moment, because he actually used it, and he took me back to a time where I desired to know my earthly father. And many of you would maybe share that. I desired to know him. And back in those days, photos and videos weren't being taken as often as we do it nowadays. Everything gets photographed. And so at some point, I discovered this box with old photos and news clippings and letters. And it was the most profound thing for me, because as I started unpacking what's in that box, I got to see something of my dad. With every little memento that he kept, there's something of him. A photo of a team that he played for, an article of what he did in the town that they were living in, and some letters that he wrote and people wrote to him. And slowly but surely, I got to dig into who my dad is and what his life was all about. And it was profound, because I got to see something of his life story and his character through it as well. And it's very similar with the Bible. It's this story, this beautiful personal letter that God has written to us. And there's snippets all throughout history. And it's beautifully woven together in this entirety. And when we dig into it, we discover these things about our father. And what's more with my dad is he was still alive, and he is still alive, so I could ask him questions. Like, what is this all about? And he could tell me not just this moment, but the whole story behind it. Where did this come from? Where was this taken? Who was involved? Why did we even do the thing that we were busy with? But there were also difficult things, like unrest. And we read this in the Bible too, that there's war and there's death and there's wrath of God. And we get scared of those things because it is difficult. But something about listening to the difficult stories also told me what my dad stood for. It told me something about what he was willing to pay a price for. And when I read of that in the Bible, I see a beautiful application of why and how our Lord is willing to pay that price on the cross. Why did he do that for me? Why did he do it for you? And we read about him because we're discovering his character and his nature through all these pages. But more than knowing about him, more than growing in our understanding of him, it's actually all about encountering him. It's not just knowledge. We've got to encounter the living person behind it. Because this Bible is God's breathed out word. It's the Creator speaking on these pages. And when I open it up and when I ask the Holy Spirit to break open these words, I get to encounter a living God, the person of Jesus. It's not a checklist. I don't want to read my Bible to earn brownie points. I want to encounter a living God. Now, Jesus also had some difficulty explaining this. And in John 5, the Jewish leaders are persecuting him, and they're wrestling and arguing with him. And he says the following. He says to them, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life." Come to Jesus. What does your quiet time look like? Are you just getting through the couple of sentences so that you can get on with the day, check it off? Or are we reading it with a desire to meet him? Because when we get to that point, you're reading and all of a sudden he stops you for a moment. Can I encourage you to take a moment and stay there? Let him wreck your heart. Let him break something open in you. Let him show you that thing that we've been speaking about for these couple of weeks that Mark was telling us about. I think last week he had the opportunity to respond to it. Like, Lord, take out these things in my life that you're highlighting. Allow him to wreck your heart. Mike Davies, one of our very well-known teachers in the circles of Joshua and 412, always says this: the Bible and its teachings should not just be informative. It should be transformative. Transformative. That means I'm hearing, but not just hearing. I'm actually obeying and applying it. I'm hearing that thing that wrecked my heart, and I'm going, okay, Lord, change this in me. When I walk out of this room, I want to go and apply. I want to be obedient to this. Are we transformed into his image? So just for a moment, let's pause there where you're sitting. Just do a little health check. Can we do that? Just a little health check. Where are we at? I'm going to ask you this question. Am I devouring God's word? Answer it for yourself deep in. Do I desire to be reading scripture? Am I hungry for it? Am I applying God's word to my life? Am I letting God's word change me? Or am I a hearer and not a doer of the word? And sometimes we might be quick to say, no, I'm fine. But we got to do a health check every now and then and be honest as well. A part of this that we're not going to spend too much time on is our interpretation of Scripture, because it is important. Because the reality is, I cannot come to this word out of my own strength and wisdom. I am completely dependent on God to open it up to me. I'm dependent on Him to open up the wonders and the mysteries to me. I need the Holy Spirit. I need the Lord to open up my eyes, and so do you. We see this in this beautiful story of Jesus walking with two guys to Emmaus, the road to Emmaus. And I've abbreviated it a little bit, but let's read together. Luke 24, verses 25 to 32. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken." And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" Were not our hearts burning in us? Because Jesus is explaining himself and unveiling himself where? Not in Mark, Luke, John, first letter of Peter. No, he's going all the way from Moses, Torah, the first five books of the Bible, the prophets. He's going through all scripture, the whole thing. It's a whole book. And he's explaining to them that it's all pointing to him. It's the point of the Bible, is getting to him. And so if we're not discovering him in all the books, I would encourage you, please start. Please try. Don't just settle for the New Testament. It's a whole book, all right? And so this is Jesus unveiling, opening up their eyes. Were not our hearts burning? And so too, I hope and trust that as we continue this journey with the Lord, that he'll reveal to us more and more. Again, you might sit here and say, I really want to. I just don't always feel it. I've heard this. People say it's important. I don't feel it. There's something of me getting to the Bible and just, it's not that desire in me. There's this guy, a very famous theologian, philosopher, maybe you've heard of him. His name is Saint Augustine, or Augustine of Hippo, 4th century guy. I'll tell you more about him on another day. But he said this, "The Holy Scriptures are our letters from home." Our letters from home. It's so beautiful because it's this connection, the Bible connecting us with him, with home, our guide to get to our eternal home. I love what he says here. The Holy Scriptures are our letters from home. And I want to say, like me and my dad unpacking that memento box together and me finding those things, God's actually written us a very personal letter. It's called his love letter to us. And if you've ever been in love, if you've ever had a smallest inclination of romanticism in your life, and you've received a letter from that person that you adore or that adores you, you know what it feels like. You cannot wait to open it up. I know my wife saves it while in a box, and she reads it again and again. Especially when she needs reminding of the fact that I don't always say the things I should. Because in those letters, in a love letter, something profound of the person is being explained and given to you. There's something of him being unveiled to us. My desire for you, what I want for you, my desire for you, a love that I carry for you, something noteworthy in those letters. So the next title that I want to show is, are you in love? Are we still reminded of the fact that there's a lover on the other end of this letter, and he's written it because he loves you, and he loves me that much that he was willing to go to that cross for me? Am I still in love? Am I picking up the love letter regularly? Am I going and digging in the box and saying, Lord, speak to me again. What is it that you desire for me? What is it that burns? Why did you do what you did for me? So my question to you is, are you eagerly desiring to read his love letter? How often are you picking it up? I don't want to be in that position where my wife writes me a love letter, somebody who really cherishes me, and she goes away, and after a month she returns and sees the love letter just still laying there, not even opened. That doesn't sit well. Like, I don't think she's going to connect with me well. I don't want the Lord's love letter to gather dust on the shelf. I actually want to dig into it. I want to make sure that I get what he wants for me. David writes in Psalm 1, that we ought to delight in the law of the Lord, and we should meditate on it day and night. Day and night, all the time. I'm walking and I'm reading and I'm discovering with him. I'm discovering more of him. I'm getting wrecked at the heart because my lover is after my heart. And so this morning, as I come to a conclusion, are you feeling bored at church? Is there anything in your walk with him that's going, I don't have that feeling anymore? Or are you in love with the Lord? Are you being burned every time you open it up, taking scripture, unpacking it together with others, looking for it? And even if I may say, if you go to the next slide, sorry, I'm going to show you the three quick questions. You're hungry, you're discovering, but the next slide, you might be in the place where you're saying, I'm not delighting, and I don't necessarily have a desire. Then I want to say, please start by discovering. Just start by picking it up. Because I almost want to guarantee that if we start reading, the delight comes. And when the delight comes, when that love is unveiled, he's getting excited at least. My boy. And so when we're delighting, we're desiring more. And when we're desiring more, we're discovering more. And when we're discovering more, we're delighting. It's a beautiful thing. It's almost like the three-legged stool. It just, those aspects, it comes together. Where are you at? Have you encountered this person? Are you enjoying scriptures? There's a season coming up now. It'll be the holidays where we might not get to gather as much. So that aspect of the stool, that third leg about community, might be lacking for a couple of weeks even for those going away. And so if you're not spending time with the Spirit in his word, there's going to be a lack. And I don't want that for you, and I don't think you want it for yourself. This is our opportunity. Please don't let it gather dust. The last thing about the word as I'm closing is, it's not just a love letter either. As we discover, you also read in Ephesians that it's actually the sword. And we are in a battle. We've been speaking about this for 2 weeks. We're in a spiritual battle. This is a sword. And the more we spend time with it, the more we get to train with it. We need to be able to wield the sword. Otherwise, I'm sure the enemy will trip you up at some point. Don't allow that to happen. This is a guide for us. With the Spirit's help, please continue training with it. Wield it well. Just the other day, literally 2 days ago, I was standing with a guy who's working in our office, and he was saying, he's from a Jewish background, and he's saying, we should attain our salvation by ourselves. We are to do it ourselves. And in that moment, this just hit me again, like, Lord, if it were not for the fact that I don't understand this, how do I even respond to that? How do I even answer that question or that statement? We got to wield it. We got to know what's in here because it's God. It's him unveiled to us.